Hello and welcome to the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney, and in this episode, I'm going to welcome Linda Lutz, a career coach, to the show, and she's going to talk about making a career change. Now, Linda is actually going to be doing a webinar with JobScan on Wednesday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to register for that webinar, it's free. You can go to jobscan.co and we have a pop-up there that will take you to the registration page. Or if you can remember this URL, it's career-change.haysummit.com. But also on our website, you should see the pop-up. This was a really great conversation. Linda has been doing, she's been a career coach or corporate trainer for almost 30 years now. So she's got a lot of experience and knows the ins and outs of this topic of making a career change. There are so many nuggets in this conversation. What I want you to listen for is when we get to this point about deciding if you need a career change or just a job change, or there's a third option there that you might not even realize that's a lot simpler, might not be easy, but a lot simpler that could really change everything and make you enjoy your career so much more. That one was surprising to me. So listen for that. We're going to talk about how to choose a career to change to, if that is the best choice. And then two, how to develop new skills that you might need for that career change, or how to know if you need new skills for your career change. So listen closely to this interview. Lots of nuggets. I'm going to jump over to that now, and you can start gleaning some of Linda's insights on the topic. Thanks for listening. Now, do you specialize in career changes, or is that just what the webinar is about?
Well, that is what the webinar is about. I would say that for me, it's a specialty because I'm really all about human potential. And so career coaching, I'm more of a holistic career coach. So it's not so much about just the career, it's about your life. So how can you have a life and a career that you love where you make a difference in the world? And so I would say I'm a career transition expert because or focused or whatever you want to call it, because I really care about people having work they love. And I think there's this big, well, I guess I'll talk about that when we get there, but I think there's a big thing out there that people are like, no, you don't have to love your work. You can just go to work. I'm like, yeah, but once, and this is how I put it the other day, once I've had the caramel latte with the whipped cream and the swirl on the top, why would I go back to coffee?
Yeah. You know, it is. Yeah. Like it is an option. It's like that, that is a possibility that you like might be in a situation where you have to just do what pays the bills, but there might be an option out there where you could love it too. And like, why not like try, like see if there, like, if you could find that. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Well, okay. So Linda, thanks for being available. We're going to go into this topic of making a career change, which I think is actually really relevant right now. I was just reading in the news the other day of the layoffs across the country for teachers. And I know it's a problem even outside of that profession, but just hearing about that and the teachers being laid off or trying to make a career change, even whole like entire schools closing, which seemed like very extreme to me. But I know this is something that people are exploring nowadays, especially our audience. So thank you for being available. I wanna go into two topics here, because I know you're doing the webinar on May 22nd. We're gonna explore the whole spectrum of making a career change. But I wanna cover just the two things of how to choose that new career and then how to approach the skills that you would need for that career. So first of all, choosing a new career. Let's say a person, like, they know they want to make a career change. They're not happy where they are, but they have no idea what to change, what career to change to. Like, where do they even start? Like, what's the first step of that process?
Oh, gosh. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I am a big fan of JobScan, have been for a long time. Where to start? That's a great question. I would say, really, for me, I believe that you need to do it from the inside out, not the outside in. In other words, it needs to start with you. What do you love? What are you good at? Where do you lose track of time? And then figure out how can we align that to your actual role? If we start looking at what roles are out there and what roles are available, what roles could I potentially do, then you're more likely to end up as a square peg trying to shove yourself in a round hole. So start from the inside out. And probably one of the easiest ways to do that, or like the first exercise I would give someone to do that, is to evaluate the job they're in. What is it that you like about the job that you're in? What do you dislike about the job that you're in? And make those lists. And then from there, dig a little bit deeper into, okay, I like this aspect of my job. Well, why? Why do you like that aspect of your job? I'm a career coach, right? I love coaching. But why do I love coaching? Because one, I love connecting with people and building relationships. That's a big part of who I am. And then I also am a huge fan of human potential. So it's like, I really want to help people become who they're born to be, that all of their gifts, talents, and abilities are shared with the world. I think that's why you're here. And so if you start to look at your likes and why do you like it, and your dislikes and why you dislike it, then that starts to create this space of you really looking and going, okay, well, now I have some tangibles, right? I have some firsthand experiences of likes and dislikes. And that's kind of one of the first places I like to start.
Interesting. Okay. So then it's basically not looking at the tasks that you do. Like if you were to look at your career and be like, okay, well, these are the things that I do. There's really no other profession. Like say you are a teacher and you're like, okay, I teach a classroom. Like how many other professions include that? Probably not that many, just teacher. But if you go beyond the actual task and just like what it is that you're doing beneath that, like the foundation of what you're doing and then why you enjoy it, that's an interesting thought. And it kind of makes me think of like, when you get to the core of that, that there really are several things that you could have been doing that you would enjoy. That was just like the first profession that you stumbled upon. And yeah. So now it's like going to see the stuff that's related to that. Okay.
Well, and I would just say, first of all, I want to back up a minute because you said maybe being a teacher there's a lot of things teachers can do. I've worked mm-hmm. with lots of teachers and I'm my background prior to coaching was training. And so, you know, there's as a teacher, you can do so many different things because your gift is helping people acquire new information. So when you start thinking about, I like coming up with creative ways to teach people new information. Well, you can do that in a lot of different jobs. And so, but that's why you have to ask the question, why? So it's not just the list of what I like and the list of what I don't like, but it's the why do I like it? Because that's going to start getting into your motivation behind the work that you do. And I think that's probably one of the most important things.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So like one thing I think about, like, again, with that example of a teacher, it could be like if the things that they do are teaching a classroom or managing a classroom or like creating lesson plans, when you get to the core of that, like going beyond the task, that's related to a lot of things like project management, or even like leadership and team management, public speaking, or just communication skills in general, which are required for a lot of leadership roles. So I think it's like going beyond the surface there. Is there like, is it as simple as that? Do you find that people sometimes struggle with actually executing that idea of what you just said? Is there a process they go through? Or when you say that to someone, do they kind of immediately get it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because most of the time the conversation starts out with, you know what I hate about my job is. So everyone kind of has that list already most of the time.
Yeah.
It's okay, well, that's good. Okay, I got you. I hear you. But what do you like about your job? And often there's another aspect here, which is task versus environment. I've had clients that come to me and say, oh, I hate my job. Help me get a new job. And as I start asking questions about what they do, they're like, oh, I like that. Oh, no, I like that part. Well, oh, I like that part too. And I'm like, well, what part don't you like? And it was the, well, I don't like being micromanaged. I don't like working on site. I don't like the people I'm working with. I don't like the organization I'm working with. And it came down to more environmental factors that they didn't like than the actual work they were doing. And so you kind of have to separate that as well between the, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And that would be, okay, now these are the tasks and the work I'm doing that I like. This is the work I'm doing I don't like, but this is the environment, right, that I'm in. Or there's actually people who don't like working from home. Super high extroverts are like, I didn't like having to be at home during COVID. I want to go to the office. And so looking at the tasks and the environment will be a big eye-opening and a really great place to start.
So basically, there are some times where a career change is not actually necessary. You really just need a job change. Like, and that's there's a difference there.
There is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't, but when people are unhappy, they just want to get away from the pain, right? Like I'm miserable. I just want to get away from the misery. And they don't take the time to really understand what's making them miserable. And if you don't know what's making you miserable, then you can't ever get away from it.
Yeah. Okay. Then, so that being the case, I think, so then evaluating what you like and what you don't like, that not only helps you to see what career to change to, but it also helps you to see if a career change is actually necessary or if you just need a job change. So what if there's somebody who they go through that and they're like, okay, maybe it is just my environment. But like every job that they've had in that career has been that kind of environment. Is there an element where it's like, okay, maybe you do need a career change because the career you're in just creates an environment that it doesn't work for you? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, I have a saying I like to say, which is wherever you go, there you are. So if it's something that's followed you from employer to employer to employer, it's probably not the employer. So then we have to start looking at, oh, if it's me, so what's the issue here? And sometimes it's expectations. Sometimes I have an expectation that, let me think of one. Sometimes I have an expectation that the role is going to give me fulfillment in a certain way that particular role really can't give me fulfillment. Here's an example. So I was teaching in the college and I was teaching job seekers. And I took on this expectation that they would be successful because of the support that I gave them and the information I taught them and the tools that I gave them. And so then when they weren't successful, I felt like it was my fault, which is unreasonable because I can't control their actions. So if I go to work expecting to be fulfilled because solely my students' success in getting a job, and then the ones that don't get a job, I feel like I didn't have that fulfillment because they were not successful. So I had this unrealistic expectation around the role. The role was going to make me feel successful because clients got jobs. But the real role, you know, the real success of that role is helping people transform their resume, their LinkedIn, the way they're doing it. Ultimately, they're going to land the job if they do what I tell them to do. But I think a lot of times it's that mindset around the role itself. And so if I have set up the expectation that I have around the role and what it's going to give me back, but that role doesn't have the ability to give it back to me, then that's something personally I have to change.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then really there's three paths. There's maybe you need a career change. Maybe you just need a job change. Or the third path would be like, maybe there's something that you can learn to adapt to in yourself and your career is actually a good thing. There's just some ways that you can, it's like some adjustments you can make.
Okay. I had a client one time, came and she wanted to change her job. And we actually did a lot of work around mindset. And she ended up not changing jobs for like another 2 or 3 years. Then the environment at the company changed. But the reason she came to me had a lot to do with her mindset, her belief, her expectations around the role. And when she shifted her mindset, her beliefs, her thoughts, she says, I actually enjoy getting up and going to work now. And I thought, I would have never told you that was something that would have come out of her mouth the first time we met. And she told me how much she hated her job and her employer, and it was horrible, and I got to get out. And then, you know, two months later, she's telling me, oh, actually, I've decided it's fine now.
Like, what? Yeah. No, that's awesome. And you know what? I can attest to that. So I had a leadership role in the past in my career, and I hated it. I eventually quit because there were things that I just couldn't tolerate. And I was like, I never want to have a leadership role ever again. So I went back to like being an individual contributor, but then I kind of missed the other parts of it, like doing the strategy and doing all the research and the data analysis, like the tasks of that role I really liked, but I was like, I just can't handle all this other stuff that comes with it. So I worked with a leadership coach for, I think about a month or a little over a month. And by the end of it, I had learned to change the way I approach situations or the way I view people or situations. And now a lot of those same issues come up, but it doesn't kill me the way that it used to. I'm able to still really love my job. So yeah, in that case, I didn't need a job change or even a career change. It was just kind of things with myself that I could learn to adapt to. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's, once you've done the list of likes and dislikes and the whys, I think that there are, you know, certainly more things that you can do. I mean, assessments that you can take. Of course, I mean, you guys know we've got our jobtest.org assessment. It's going to help you look at some of those themes about yourself and see what other roles will align with that. So, you know, research is definitely a piece of it. Once you start to really tap into who you are, what you care about, all of those things, what you like, what you dislike. Once you have kind of a bigger picture of yourself, then you can start looking. And this is where the inside out versus the outside in comes. Once I know who I am, what I'm good at, what I want to do, how I enjoy spending my time, then I start looking at roles that align to me, instead of the other way around. And then that research, you know, you can go deeper into research around the roles and really evaluating, okay, will this role meet my criteria? I just think we do it backwards a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So that kind of goes to my second question of like, what if a person has an idea of a career they want to change to? They haven't gone through any like research or assessments. They're like, I want to change into this. How do they know if that's the right career to change to? Is it like, if it's instinctive, should they just jump into it? Or like, how do they know if it's a good idea?
I'm still going to go back to what I said earlier, because if you don't do the work around what matters to you, what you want your role to be, how you want to contribute your value, then you can't answer the question, will this new role do it for you? It really is, you know, when we're applying for jobs, we take the resume and we lay it next to the job description to see if they match. We need to take that job description and lay it along a profile of ourselves to see if it matches.
How would a person do that? Like, does that mean like literally writing down like a profile of myself? Or I guess you mentioned on jobtest.org that there's an assessment there, but how would a person do that in a tangible way?
So in a tangible way, you want to look at several things. You want to look at your work and core values. In other words, like work values, those are things like, I don't want to be micromanaged. I want to have autonomy. I want to work from home. Like there's all kinds of different aspects of like those work values and core values. So that would be one pillar. Like, what do I want? Then another one is coming back to the likes and dislikes. What do I like doing? What am I good at? I would go deeper on that one into skills. So what am I really good at? What do I lose track of time doing? There are other assessments like the Strength Finders. I love Strength Finder. It is a phenomenal tool to tell you who you are. And when you can look at kind of that temperament personality piece. I mean, there's a lot of them, right? I mean, Myers-Briggs, mm-hmm. DISC, there's all kinds of different ones that you can look at, but it's who are you? I just don't think we often start with the who am I first. We start looking at the industry and who's having layoffs and who isn't, and we get so focused outside of ourselves, and we don't start with the most important, which is you are the most important. So when I look at my values, when I look at my my skills, my talents, my abilities, the places that I come alive from, my temperament, well, that begins to create that profile of who you are, what matters to you, that you can lay against a job description and say yes or no.
Okay. All right. So now that the person has, they've gone through this process of finding the next career, a lot of times what people face, or maybe, I don't know, what they think they face is like, I need to level up my skills, or I need a degree in order to get this role. How should they approach that? I guess my question is like, what should their mindset be? But that might not even be the right, you know, like the right place to start. But how should they approach this idea of like, oh, I need to develop all these new skills? Is that always the case, or how should they think about that?
Yeah, I like creating a roadmap, so something easy to follow, step by step, very practical and tangible. Now, I am going to talk more on the webinar this month. I'm going to be talking more about mindset and the mindset you need to have to make a successful career transition. So definitely join us there. But I would say the first place I would start would be a gap analysis. So if you think about your profile now, kind of turning into your resume and looking at your experience, your education, and your skills, and now looking at the education and skills and experience that this new role is going to require, let's just do a gap analysis and say, okay, let's say I need project management skills. I have project management skills. Maybe I need to get my certification, my PMP, because that would help. Or maybe I find that I have great skills in teaching or training. Let's say they want me to have a certain certification. Great, then I get the certification. If a certification is not a part of the requirement, and I don't have a particular, like let's say I don't have a particular software background, and I am a trainer also, right? I'm a coach, but I'm a trainer. And let's say that part of what I need to do is develop content or curriculum, and I might need the software called Articulate. I don't necessarily need the certification in it. I just need to know how to use it because all the job applications ask for it, which means it's a key word that's going to show up when I'm going through that applicant tracking system. And I need to get the word Articulate onto my resume. I can go take a free class on Articulate. Great. And now I can put it on my resume honestly, because I never want to lie or misrepresent anything on my resume or my LinkedIn profile. So I'm just going to go take some kind of a class that's going to give me some knowledge and skill and put it on my resume. And now I've filled that gap, right? That's the point of a gap analysis, knowing what I have, what I need, and what's missing. And then fill in that roadmap of, okay, well, I'm going to take these classes on LinkedIn Learning, or I'm going to go to one of the Khan Academies or one of the different free sites that are out there for all of the training. And I'm going to take some classes and I'm going to fill the gap. I'm going to post about it probably on LinkedIn. But I have to also build that reputation of people knowing me for that thing.
So let's say the career that they found is or requires a degree. Would you say then, like, based on what you were just saying of like, it kind of seems like going for more like simpler routes of learning that skill, would you say that if there's a career that requires a degree, like maybe it's not worth it? Or like, do you not like limiting people in that way? How do you usually approach that?
I don't like limiting people because I've had jobs at colleges that required degrees I didn't have. So I don't ever discount something because it asks for a degree. I will always start with the least amount of requirements that I can get away with. So I'm first going to start by taking a free online class. Okay, well, that didn't do it. then I'm going to go get that certification. Like, there's a lot of colleges have a business management certification, which is kind of the lower level of an MBA. So I'm going to go get that certification and see how far I can push my career with that. And then if I am still making progress and I've gotten a new role and I've elevated my position, but I still haven't gotten to the level I want to, because it really is going to require an MBA, I'm going to have to get the MBA. So that I like to start with the least amount of effort and okay. then, and the free and free, right? So I'm taking a free class. Okay. Then now I have to go pay and get that certification. All right. Now I'm going to go get this. Ultimately there are going to be roles that require a particular degree. And in those cases, you have to decide. Or you get to decide. I'm just saying that you get to decide whether or not you want to get the education and whether or not you want that role. Or is there perhaps another role that would fulfill your desires that doesn't require the degree?
Okay. So then let's say a person, okay, so let's say the new career, it fits them personally and also like a lot of the experience they have, but there is one element where they kind of would be starting from the beginning in terms of developing that skill. So they might do online courses or a certification. Because of that, do you find that often career changers have to start at the beginning, maybe like with either what you might call entry level or just a step down from where they were? Does that usually happen? Or can they like, is there a way to skip that just so they don't have to take a salary cut? How does that usually work?
Yeah, of course, that's a really wide open question because industries and roles are so different. But generally speaking, I would say most of my clients are able to make kind of that equal level transition over because they've added the skill that was missing. Sometimes if taking a class or getting the certification isn't enough, then I'll recommend that they go volunteer somewhere to get the hands-on experience with it, or go do some contract work on the side, like, you know, sites like Upwork or LinkedIn Marketplace, where you can offer your project management skills or whatever. Like, you can add, you can offer those skills and get paid something for them to add them to your resume and say, no, I do have hands-on experience with this. That, combined with my certification, combined with my previous 10 years of experience, makes me qualified. And often it's how you position it. It's how you sell yourself, right? Because think about this. Buying a pair of jeans. I can go to Walmart and buy a pair of jeans for $10. If I go to the mall, I'm going to pay $250 for a pair of jeans. But they're both jeans. So what's the difference? It's the positioning and the branding and the marketing and the how you tell the story about how these jeans make you feel versus the $10 pair of jeans, right? So it does come into that part as well. So it, yes, I have the experience, but it's not just having it. It's communicating that you can take your experience, you can bring it to the organization, and it will result in value and outcomes for the organization.
Okay. That makes sense. So, so then based on this idea of like, you wouldn't necessarily need to step back or step down. You could do other things to get the required amount of experience, but it sounds then that maybe the best time to make a career change is while you are still employed and you can take the time to gain those new skills. You shouldn't like quit your job and then be like, I'm going to make a career change. It's like, no, you take maybe like 6 months or something while you're working to do this stuff.
Yes, 100%. If you can help it. I mean, if you've gotten laid off, then that's a different story. But if you've got the job, don't quit a job. Most of the time I'm going to say to people, don't quit a job. It's easier to get a job when you have a job. So the best transition in my mind is, you know, stay with the job that you have. Let's identify what it is you really want to do. Use that current job as kind of your laboratory for research. Oh, I like this. I don't like this. Oh, this new thing happened today and I really liked it. Even though, you know, sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's a mental health issue. Like I'm so burnt out. I can't even function anymore. And at that point, you might just need to take a month or two off. Find a way to do that. Save some money first, whatever you need to do. to kind of step away and breathe and recover your health before you go back in and try and make that next change. But yeah, I think that, you know, the biggest thing is just to believe it's possible. You have to start by believing it's possible, because when you believe it's possible, it is. And when you believe it's impossible, it is impossible. So we'll definitely talk more about that on the webinar.
Okay. So Linda, thanks for being available. That webinar is going to be Wednesday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Linda, thanks for joining. There is so much valuable information here, and I'm sure there'll be so much more in the webinar. So this was great. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Once again, Linda, thank you for joining. That was such a great interview. I hope that you got some of the little tidbits in there that really changed my perspective. I know. I hope that it was helpful to you too. Again, that webinar is going to be on Wednesday, May 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern time. You should see the pop-up on jobscan.co to register, but you could also go to career-change.heysummit.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. For this episode, whether you're listening on Spotify or YouTube, the link should be there. But thanks for listening to this episode. Leave a review if you liked it on Apple Podcasts. You can also leave a comment with your review. Let me know what topics you want us to talk about in future episodes. If there's a guest that you would like for us to have on, I'll make sure and I read those and take that into consideration. But thanks for listening. I'll see you all in the next episode. Bye.